What exactly is a 7th Freedom Flight, and why should you care that one might be landing at JFK soon? I'm Tower, and this is ADIS on Radio Hangar. Let me set this up, because the headline alone doesn't tell the whole story. Israel is in active negotiations with Emirates to operate nonstop flights between Tel Aviv and New York. Now, on the surface, that sounds like just another long-haul route announcement. Airlines add routes all the time, but this one is different. This would be a 7th Freedom arrangement, and if you're not an airline geek, that term probably means nothing to you. So here's what you need to know. The International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO, defines what are called freedoms of the air. There are 9 of them. They're essentially the building blocks of international aviation rights. The first freedom is the right to fly over another country's airspace. The second is the right to land for refueling. The third and fourth cover carrying passengers between your home country and another country. Most international flying lives in those first 4 freedoms. The 7th freedom is something else entirely. It gives an airline the right to carry passengers between 2 foreign countries without the route touching the airline's home country at all. Emirates is based in Dubai. Under a 7th freedom deal, Emirates would fly passengers between Tel Aviv and New York, 2 cities that have nothing to do with the United Arab Emirates geographically. No leg of the trip goes through Dubai. It's a UAE-registered airline operating a route entirely between Israel and the United States. Today's edition of ADIS is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, why would Israel want this? Capacity, El Al, Israel's flag carrier, has been stretched thin. The Tel Aviv to New York corridor is one of the most demanded routes in Israel's network, and El Al simply doesn't have enough metal to cover it, especially with the geopolitical pressures that have reshaped scheduling across the Middle East over the past couple of years. United and Delta serve the route as well, but demand continues to outstrip supply, bringing in Emirates, with its fleet of Airbus A380 Super Jumbos and Boeing 777s, would inject a massive amount of seat capacity on the route almost overnight. For Emirates, the appeal is equally clear. This gives them access to one of the most lucrative transatlantic markets without needing to build a connecting hub operation around it. They'd sell direct tickets Tel Aviv to JFK or Newark and keep the entire revenue. No code share split, no interline complexity, just a clean, high-yield route. But here's where it gets complicated, and here's where this story matters beyond the airline industry. 7th Freedom rights are exceedingly rare. Most countries guard their bilateral air service agreements carefully. The United States in particular has historically been protective about which foreign carriers can operate between American cities and third countries. There's no precedent for a Gulf carrier operating a 7th Freedom route into the US. This would be a first. The regulatory path is not simple. The US Department of Transportation would need to approve it. Open skies agreements between the US and the UAE would need to be examined to determine whether 7th Freedom rights are even on the table under existing treaties. And there's the political dimension. American carriers, particularly those that fought the so-called Gulf subsidy battle a few years back, may push back hard. Delta, United, and American have all argued in the past that Gulf carriers benefit from state subsidies that distort competition. Opening a 7th Freedom precedent could, in their view, crack the door wider. From the Israeli side, this deal is also wrapped up in the Abraham Accords normalization. Direct air service between Israel and the UAE only began in 2020. After decades of no diplomatic relations, Emirates launching flights to Tel Aviv was already a historic shift. Extending that to a 7th Freedom operation between Tel Aviv and New York would be another leap entirely, turning a diplomatic breakthrough into a commercial aviation framework that doesn't really exist anywhere else in the world. Now, for those of us in general aviation, this doesn't change your next flight plan. But it's worth understanding because it touches the structure of how international aviation works. The freedoms of the air aren't just academic. They determine who can fly where, and they shape the economics of every ticket sold on every international route. When a 7th Freedom deal gets struck, it signals that the old bilateral framework is bending. And when frameworks bend, new opportunities and new competitive pressures follow. If this deal goes through, watch for other countries to take notice. There are carriers in the Gulf, in Asia, and in Europe that would love 7th Freedom access to high-demand U.S. routes. The question has always been whether the U.S. would open that door. Israel may be handing them the key. It's also worth watching how this plays out at ICAO level. The freedoms of the air were codified in 1944 at the Chicago Convention. 82 years later, the 7th Freedom remains one of the least used tools in international aviation. If a Tel Aviv to New York Emirates flight actually takes off under this framework, it won't just be a new route, it'll be a proof of concept. This one's still developing, no timeline has been confirmed, and the regulatory approvals on both the American and Israeli sides are far from guaranteed. But the negotiations are real, and the intent is serious reporting today, drawn from Simple Flying's coverage of the Israeli-Emirates negotiations. You can find more at RadioHango.com. I'm Tower, that's your ATIS. Stay current out there.